All right, so it was a good week for the market. Let's face it, because it wasn't a good week on economic data. And while corporate earnings have largely come in above Wall Street consensus, very few have really beat on revenue. You're looking here at the list. So let me just really quickly, because this is going to boggle the mind. NFIB small business optimism missed. Producer price index came in a lot hotter than expected. Advanced retail sales, a big disaster. Empire State, that's New York area manufacturing, a miss. Consumer price index, same as a year ago. National Association of Home Builders, that was a big miss on their sentiment. Philadelphia Fed, that was a huge miss. Building permits and starts were down, and industrial production missed the mark. So, to a degree, maybe earnings helped, certainly. But let's face it, too. The earnings situation is one now that there's a shift, right, from growth and then being able to say, hey, the earnings are priced because of pricing power. And now the focus is on how well management can navigate with the dark clouds of inflation above. And nobody's talking about pricing power, folks. And yet risk appetite, look at this, it is erupting. Everyone has a lot of risk appetite these days. And remember the Fear and Greed Index? Well, it's nestled back into greed, moving pretty quickly. Remember, just a month ago, it was nestled into fear. How much longer, though, can bad news be cheered instead of triggering concern? Let's bring in Bianco Research President Jim Bianco. And Jim, we know that the market has the market was soft. The soft data can be, seen as enough for the Fed to become more aggressive on rate hikes. But, there is this also old saying to be careful what you wish for, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, really what the market, the stock market has been looking at for the last several months has been a 5% yield in the bond market. The long-term prospects of the stock market is for 8% gains. So if you could get 5% in the bond market, you're getting most of the gains of the stock market without as much risk. And it's seen that as a big competition. So when you get this weak data, and hopefully the market thinks the Fed's going to cut rates, yields on long-term bonds are going to fall. That reduces the competition, and that gets everybody excited about stocks. So we're solidly into that old bad news is good news. And to your point, be careful about wishing for bad news, thinking it's good news, because eventually bad news becomes bad news, and that the economic data is bad, and that the economic data is bad for a reason, and then all of a sudden we don't like it that the economic data is bad.
To that point, I do find it very interesting how desperately Wall Street is clamoring for rate cuts. There are two things. A, and I've got this sheet in front of me, right? The market normally goes down initially after that first rate cut. And check this out, folks, at the highlighted column there. In recent years, it's really gone down a lot. Now, this goes back to 1974. Overall, your average is 276 days from the first rate cut to when the market actually makes a bottom. And I do not think the Fed has ever really cut rates when the market was at an all-time high. In fact, declines before and after these cuts average about a 20.5% move. And again, more recently, it's been even more detrimental than that. So I just wonder, why are we clamoring so much for these rate cuts when in fact, unless the only thing I can think, Jim, is that Wall Street knows that maybe at this point it's just feathers, their portfolios, because historically rate cuts initially don't help the market.
Right. Historically, rate cuts typically come because the economy is initially. It usually comes because the economy is struggling, or there's some legitimate fears that there's a problem with the economy, and that's why the Fed cuts rates. Now, they have cut rates when we've at all-time high. They did it in 1995, and they did it in 2019. And the stock market went ballistic right after both of those rate cuts. Because in that case, what does an all-time high in the stock market tell you? There isn't really a whole lot of things to worry about. And if you're going to then, if the Fed is going to then say, okay, since there's nothing to worry about, let me throw on cheap money onto the equation. That's why the stock market goes crazy. That's why you get meme stocks coming back. That's why you get Bitcoin going crazy.
Right.
That's why you get all this speculation that's been going on. And that's why Wall Street wants rate cuts, because it doesn't think there's a problem.
Right.
And it just sees cheap money, and they want to enjoy the advantages of that.
It's like every day it's our birthday. Hey, before I let you go, I had Jim Grant on earlier this week. Talked about, of course, entering the bond market now, perhaps has now entered into a secular bear market. We're talking 35, 40 years of yields higher from here, bonds lower. You wrote an article about this in FT last week. What are your thoughts about this?
I tend to agree with him that we are in a secular bear market and that we are going to see over the next many years higher interest rates. But don't be worried about that. What that means from an investor standpoint is what we were talking about earlier. You're going to get the competition from stocks from higher yields. What that also means is we're going to probably be in an era of stronger growth. So what does that mean if you're a borrower? Well, whatever you're borrowing for should appreciate faster, whether it's a house or a business, to be able to pay those high interest rates. So a higher interest rates, secular bear market, does not mean, you know, it's the end of the economy or anything like that. It's just that we've transitioned away from that zero interest rate world that we were in. We're no longer in that world anymore.
All right. Hey, Jim, thanks a lot, my friend. Hope to see you again real soon.
Thank you.
All right. So my next guest is